stop and look around. What do you do to make me feel that you should be, say, placed in charge of something or another? What have you done within my instructions to get ready, structure, confer, keep silent, vigil, and discretion, and on and on? Do you consider the task you are waiting for most are waiting, and while waiting do very little toward the overall stability of anything, while talking, bragging, assuming ego status, and actually causing the events awaited to be continually delayed because of your assumed do it my way, which is rarely God's way? How many promises have you made for the rewards of another's structured labors? Have you gotten your house in order, or are you just focused on getting your impressive house? Why? Why do you, in fact, always try so hard to bypass me? You want me to fulfill your prayers and consummate your dreams, but what do you do to make it secure and worthy? Most ones come to my focus in hopes of finding a God of some kind that fits their wants. I come from the real thing, and it hardly ever fits man's wants. That is what is wrong with mankind, his wants. Then when there is a bit of reminding and new lessons, most will go and lick their wounds, gather into little batches, and convince one another that whatever is okay. No, if not godly, it is not okay. My job is not to go around hitting you, spanking you, or even mentally prodding you. I have a mission. You have a mission. And wouldn't it be wondrous if all of us would be mature enough to accept our own responsibilities? Just by being and coming into proximity with me or my mission is not anything. If you cannot do what goodness you would do elsewhere, why do you think you will do great and wondrous things here? Do you think there has been magic somehow here? No, the same guidance is available everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. No one has responsibility to choose or direct or accept your responsibility. Most are too busy trying to bring their own survival into fruition, not attend your druthers or perceived mistreatments. Ones wish to be managers and directors, supervisors and kingpins, when there is yet nothing to run. Much less is demand of such responsibility in action proven as to capability almost every time there is conflict. Tehachapi may well be a place where I need to do some things. I have no right or assumption that you have anything to do here, or anywhere for that matter. We are never going to be big here or anywhere. Anywhere, things may well get done, but individuals here are not going to be big shots. And the minute that you think there will be that kind of display of either control or force, you will find yourself sucking air in the pond, friends. I don't want to run your business, but neither shall you run mine. I can further tell you that most of you are not suited to even help me run mine, because there is so much avoidance of me while you run my business your way, even if you have to lose everything in the processing of efforts of acquisition. Oh, but you said you wanted to do this or that. Actions always speak far more clearly and loudly to me than any words in any language. Dorma's got it made. Ecker sat through the most grueling day of their spiritual lives on Friday as U.S.&P attorneys bombarded and badgered about transcribing for me. They face some new legal harassment every day of their lives, and there is no magic. They are not the only ones. Many are walking through the pits of hell every day just to hopefully make a better passage for citizens of the world to travel. It may well appear that you could and would do better if you had her advantages of her task. Would you? Then why haven't you? Silent and or noisy wars within. Every being, physical or etheric, has a private war ongoing. This is the task of learning and living, beyond being played out in active motion. It is how you handle these private contradictions, confrontations, and wars that provides the recognition of growth, regression, progression, or just plain ego entrapment. Well, that's just too big to chew, most say. I need little experiences and recognition, and then I can serve better. Say what? We speak of a planet in peril. And you still want your lessons done for you and your hard lumps chewed in addition? No, thank you. Ego slips up on you from the backside every time. It comes and says, come on, you know better than that vapor goon. Do you? Fine. Go do your better somewhere outside my business. Why do you interfere in my business? I do not interfere in yours. Next comes, I just want to serve God. Fine. Where is God? Why is God? When is God? Who is God? How is God? About all I can add to this subject is that when you try to manage God's business and my mission your way, it is not going to be too pleasant if it conflicts with that which I have already set in motion. To do so in trying is proof that you do not believe me as to who I am or what is my mission. Or you don't possibly realize it, but you serve my enemy. I'm sorry, I am not here to assist you in your mission. I am here on my own mission. God is that which is set forth to assist with your mission and mine. So if it appears as we move through these days that somehow Hatton gets more, etc., let us ponder truth. Hatton knows God and mission, the way, the how, the why, the approximate when, and the who. If you don't, then why do you proclaim right to run my mission or reap from my mission your way? Who gets in your way of success and joy? You. No one but you. Further, when you feel put upon, who is to blame? No one forced you into anything here. We were going about our business long before any other showed up. But if you cannot make it here in service as claimed in intent, you did not make it. You are not making it anywhere else, nor shall you until attitudes are changed. You see, if you were successful, you would still be there. By success, I mean many things, hardly any of which is relative to money. Doing God's work is not haphazard, nor ego-oriented, so don't lie to selves, or especially to me, in your ongoing pious opinions and reasons why you are somehow better, more qualified, and other things better left unsaid. If you wish to balance a world, regain freedom in constitutional rightness, then you are going to stop the incredible bashing that you continue to do in order to make self feel more important than the guy next door. If a man is doing his job, he has no time nor inclination to look to see who else may not be doing his own. And if you can't cut it, when there is nothing going on, how in God's name do you expect to lead and do it when there is something? We have no groups, no communal anything. We do good business based on capability, not status or seniority. If you don't like it, I am sorry, do you see? I am going nowhere. I was here first, doing my job. You will do yours, or move on, stay put, or do whatever it is you think you want to do, but not run my business. I may not fill your needs of qualifications, so go away. No one asks you to put up with and endure my way. We will assume that you find your task very important and want to make sure it is done your way. Well, it hasn't been right or successful so far. All of you who practiced and planned for ascension in all those nice groupies, how far have you ascended? How successful in anything have you been so far? Then why do you insist on running my business? What further earthly reason would I have to turn over the most important tasks in the universe to you of narrow intent and acceptance? Oh, I see. You gave it the office. Fine. The office will double your money back. Will that start us even? Can't you have both? I promise you something, readers. If you cannot find joy in having little, you will only have misery piled upon misery when you have much, and still have no soul fulfillment as to how to manage it. To politics. What are you trying to do? Gain the Constitution's return? Why then were you not in Bakersfield to the Jubilee? What is it? What happened? Why don't you know? It is in your very own dooryard, for goodness sakes. It is simply a group of patriots who gather to consider truth, approaches for action, and gather information. Just a gathering. What happened? You don't know? Why don't you know? In Bakersfield was the prime example of our information outgoing of anywhere on your globe. Not about a crime bill. The real crime was taking place all over everywhere. The interesting thing in point here, for it is useless to belabor these things, it seems to make so little difference. Even when it is right under your noses, the Zionists, through the leadership of the ADL, WZO, WJO, WJL, and such, made such an anti-hate and picketing bash that several of the top Jewish riot causers were arrested. Yes, indeed, right here in good little All-America City, Bakersfield. Later in the year, Henry Kissinger will be a featured speaker and participant at a major business confab in Bakersfield. What have you done about spreading his reputation in truth around your own town? Clearly, it must be someone else's business. And this is just one small city. What is going on everywhere if all this is going on in one almost unheard of little city? You can wait until the money comes, until hell freezes. If you are not doing something now, you will never do anything of greatness when the money comes, because you have laid no foundation upon which to utilize it wisely or effectively. You cannot ride the coattails into freedom or heaven. A guard at the prison which houses Ron said to Rick, "Boy, it seems that all those who want and struggle for freedom and constitution just end up filling up the prisons." Right on. Where were you? Waiting? Is it not sad that the ones who just sit and wait for the welfare checks and watch brain-dead TV aren't waiting in those prison cells where they could sure be more comfortable to continue the waiting and watching and let your leaders out? I think you're getting it. That wouldn't work, would it? I suggest you think carefully about these things, then observe your own offspring, your own lives, your own qualifications and demands, and pretend you are boss over a project or business. Would you hire you and put you in charge of what? So be it. Hard lessons. Do you want to continue to flunk kindergarten or get on with the universal expression? Plant your roots in the fantasy land of kindergarten, and there shall you remain. What have you done to cause me to choose you for responsibility? What are you doing now, and I mean other than reading this or listening? Do you labor in the vineyards, or do you await the grapes or the wine? Do you use your hands or your mouth? I am not being hard, but it is a hard journey, apparently. Stay in the light and play in God's play, and it is not hard, certainly not in decision-making when choices are good or evil. I will walk with you. I will guide you. Yea, carry you. But I will not even take a breath to help you help the adversary. If failure plagues you, even in your own discernment of the term failure, you had better look at self and see perhaps why. When my assets, for instance, are brought forth to me, then and only then will my projects go into bearing fruit. Look carefully to see if perhaps you are holding up the flow. Because you do not see me does not mean that I am not here. By the way, if you want a job with IBM, do you go to Ross Perot to get the job? I think even good old Ross would tell you to go talk to IBM. If you want a job with Larry Sims, do you go to Larry, not Hatton? So why do you ones continue to beat Eckers upon the head and shoulders for your druthers? Moreover, if you're going to work, say, in Tehachapi Engineering, why would you demand of Hatton instead of those who hire for Tehachapi Engineering? If you can't change your concepts, you can never change your world. This is one reason we work so often with mature persons. Old is that they are ready to pass on the work to the suitable ones. If they, you, are still demanding it to be your way, then that way is narrow and self-oriented. You are going to get your feelings hurt. You want a vacation? Do your work properly, and then there are ones to take responsibility, and you will have earned your respite. You will have to learn that your wants are...
Try it again, it's important.
Yes, you will have to learn that your wants are not someone else's demands. I am gathering up all of Cinderella's glass slippers to Ever-Everland. I am tossing out myriads of Hard Knocks shoes, and let's see who tries cramming their feet into them. Or will mold and meld itself to grow beyond the bindings of the shoes themselves. If you only wait for the diamond slipper, it is hard to believe that you shall find it, save on another's foot, who didn't just wait around and demand. If you polish God's lamp, you better make sure it is for better vision and brightness, and not to get an inside track on something or other. You do your job, God will do his. Let this go. The morning has not worked out well in timing, which too is good example. God places no conditions upon his love, but the experience of self through this journey is filled with conditions. When you realize the infinite truth of recognizing and living within those conditions, you shall have achieved glory through grace. For it comes from no other resource save self and Creator within those conditions and laws of his asking. If you leave the transmission out of the car, there's no need for a clutch. Ponder it.
I'm a hard act to follow. I know I feel ones in this room even being a little bit offended, a little bit hurt, but quite introspective. Well, it was nicer when we started. Dorma always says, well, when we started, it seemed like it was okay. And the day that Commander said, if you step across this threshold today, there won't be any going back, little one. Some were present at that moment. All of the rest of you in the room, I said, of which there were like four, will still have an opportunity to turn around and go the other way, but not Dorma. Once Dorma has passed this threshold in this service, she can never go back. Let's say the fat's in the fire. She doesn't like to hear it that way, but that's what it is. Because once moving into the service, you can quit at any time you want to. That's not the problem. Your enemies will not leave you alone. Somewhere out there, someday, someone will turn up one of these journals and they'll be after you again. Who in the world is that? Let's get rid of her. Or him. At that point, you see, hopefully no one will remember. Male, female, her, it. It'll be like uncovering the old scrolls. And these labels won't mean anything. Only the truth of the circumstances. So we're having to put down the truth of the circumstances, the historical events that bring you through these experiences, along with awakening the ones that have to lead the way through. So it's not an easy task. And certainly there are many ones who will never go beyond the audience. And I don't want to be insulting, but most of the parents, the grandparents, the elders, if you will, you are in service for a very, very good reason, and it's called experience up to now, so that you can handle it. But I'm not interested in you. You've made your commitments, your journey. I'm interested in those you bring with you. You owe them. They chose, yes, but you owe them the responsibility of allowing them the ability to serve God and country in honor. Don't make them accuse their own parents of treason. That does not mean that you march out there with big targets painted on your chest like Linda Thompson would have you do. And then, oh, well, I didn't mean it. We were just testing you. What right does she have to test you? So you know that the very statement is a cop-out and a lie to cover for indiscretion. But that's what usually comes with control of either money or I know more than you. I am going to be an adjutant general and you come follow me. Joan of Arc. Well, Joan of Arc got burned at the stake. And some of you can still feel the heat, can't you? Well, what good are those experiences at the stake if you're going to just repeat them now? You're just going to have the hot foot twice, aren't you? And if your focus is still trying to figure out which energy took this form and who might I have been as Cleopatra and who might my lover have been then, and you don't move into the realization that it's all laid before you now as if there were no past ever. Memory is all you have because you cannot yet see the future. And whatever you see in the future is simply because you're remembering it now. And I'm sorry that Ron saw fit to bring this forth, but you see there's something just building in him. He does not want to be Germaine, and I've teased him. Does this mean old Germaine was a bad boy? No, it certainly does not. It means that you are experiencing in a world where usury, banksters, unlawful, unconstitutional acts have destroyed you. And yet reason has to kick in here somewhere, my friends. As bad as it is to face it, what are you going to do in this illusion to cut down on population? So the ones in the physical form contemplate murder. Let's murder everybody. Well, that's not right. But what in the world is there? There is only mind. There is only thought. If it is attached to God, it can create. If it is attached to evil, it can only manipulate what is. Therefore, we'll go murder, and therefore you know it's evil. Oh, well, they're only robots. How do you know? You're not given in your consciousness to know. And I'm not even going to say that Ron Jackson doesn't know either. But you better be sure. It isn't a matter of who you kill. It is a matter of the death that is acquired in you. When you take that responsibility upon yourself to be executioner, judge, jury. And these are the things that never leave your soul. These are the scars that never leave the soul. And these are the scars that require you within your goodness to try again and again and again and again. And since it is an illusion, why do we not create that which we want instead of wallowing in the negativity of that which has been manipulated by the manipulators? Oh, well, Jermaine, I don't care who he is. He's got a lot more to do with everything than I do. Care to repeat that? Not to me. You better not repeat that and then say, I'm in God's service. God is never going to make it easy for you to make these decisions. It's harder for me. He can sit in his ivory palace up there somewhere. Well, I announce this to you. And as a good old daddy, I'm flexible, you know. I'll just do it for you, and then we'll work on your lessons. No, that's not the way it works. You make your decision. And if your decision is to create in the light of holy God, it will happen. It has to happen. Because you're not giving it an alternative. You need alternatives for management. You do not have the right to alternatives in rightness versus wrongness. And I don't care how many wrongs you pile up, it will never, ever turn into right. Those are the conditions. It has nothing to do with unconditional love. In fact, how many out there, how many children are growing up without any kind of love at all, and the parents are saying, well, it's just unconditional love. I just cannot do this, and I cannot do that, and I just, you know, and you're terrified of your kids. And the government helps them. I'll get you, Mommy. You mustn't hit me. You mustn't discipline a kid having a tantrum and screaming in the middle of the market. Or someone's going to turn you in for child abuse and take your children. You're either going to come back to some discipline, or I don't want to be on your world anyway. And when God and God's people don't want to be on your world, you're in serious trouble, because we can get out and you can't. And when you quit feeding that bloodsucker, when you cut the head off this octopus, I don't care how many suction cups he's got attached to you, they will eventually fall away. You have to know that there are several facets to God's plan. There will be the participants who will be able to go out there and make a physical change about. There will be ones who will simply build good business. There will be some who'll just flat go on vacation because your job has been basically done. Except you're never finished, are you? It's like knowledge. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. But that's when you begin to get humble. And I want to tell everybody in this room before we stop and have cake. Ed Cleary, if I ask him, would be on that plane by night. But you have a right to cry out. Know the difference. But he might suggest that I pay him $12,000 in advance. And I would say, EJ, and EJ would, you know, I mean, this could just go on and on, so we better just skip it. But I don't think we want to be here all day, and so let's take a little break. I want to say before we do this that Nicole Lemura said to Dorma, look, don't feed me cake. I'm really trying. So the cake up here is not for Lemura. She has to appreciate the colors, and all of that love is for her and anyone else in this room. But I want to explain something to you. If she doesn't eat the cake, she's got to eat the pretzels. And the pretzels are bread, and man cannot live by bread alone, so you may as well eat cake. Salut. I think while we're all a little bit still fragmented, might be a good time to talk on the subject of recognition and grace and recognition of those things that you can't change, that old AA grace statement. It's good. It's filled with wisdom. But it's also a cop-out. And it's up to you whether or not you use it as a cop-out or as a step up a ladder into growth and ultimately into grace. Help me to change those things that can be changed. And you can't change them unless you recognize they exist. So what does the good old alcoholic finally have to do before you can come out of alcoholism? You have to say, I'm an alcoholic. And it's another one of those things where you can lie about it until you drop over in the gutter dead. And it will not allow you to heal. So there's a lot of wisdom that has come down. So to change the things you can is very admirable. To accept those things you cannot change. There's your cop-out statement. Whoops, guess I can't change it, so I better accept it. And therefore the punchline and the grace to know the difference in the two. And why you do something. You once come into the hardest brunt of whatever I'm projecting, and it's like preaching to the choir, except that also the most responsibility falls on you, doesn't it? Just from the proximity. And because nothing works the way you think it will in this ever-changing kaleidoscope world, whatever you may be thinking, I am boning up, I'm getting really good at this or that or the other talent, life changes in a moment. Our friend Bernie died. I don't know, I assume all of you know that, Bernie and Lou. And in a blink of an eye, she's gone. These are choices made. Well, now, how would one decide they wanted to die? It is not that way, ever. But you see, I don't believe quite enough, God, to do it your way. Oh, it's working, but I better just go with their way, too. And they have this new experimental something, and it may work. Well, it also may kill, obviously. And it did. Infections these days are so often really, really deadly because there's no effective antidote, antibiotic, to handle it. So we lost Bernie. And the whole world changes for ones like Lou. And yet these are the things over which you have to overcome. What difference does it really make? It's another hurdle that you simply have to traverse. But these are the losses that you will be continually confronting, and I'm making a central focus of something when I should not be, because actually they are no different than any of you. They come to visit, and they're friends. Randall, for instance, studies and studies at garnering money. And he's working in a direction which we will never use. Never. It's a long time. But the world changes, so that which was is no longer valid, number one. Number two, we can't do it that way, or we will never do anything. We can get started, but the absolute cost of doing business will kill you. In the long run, they don't let you have it for nothing. Oh, well, yes, but we do it this way and it's all, you know. No. If the Khazarian Zionist elite are doing it, you cannot afford it. It is destined to bring you into their control and power. You're going to have to move into a different mindset. One out of usury and into a price for a commodity called money. And if you want to call it $10 a thousand, $10 a hundred thousand, whatever you set as a price for the money, it is not going to eat you alive all the while that you are moving. You will borrow the extra in the beginning to do your project plus the cost of the money, and that's it. You're not compounding it like Padre has to think about now on that credit card. Never underestimate the lessons. But you work with what you have at the moment. Well, Randall might say, well, what do you want me to do? Just nothing? I've got to do something. Yes, you do. But whatever ones are doing in business, you're going to need good bookkeepers, good business heads. So you have to be flexible to change. And you have to be willing. But there is nothing that says you have to wait around. Go do something while you're waiting. Go find another place. You might really like it. It's going to take a long time. No matter how rapidly we go, it's going to take a long time here to even get anything started. How have you ever tried to get anything through this planning commission in this town, in Kern County? Between the concept and the finished product is unthinkable. Nobody wants to think about it if they've ever thought about it and faced it. And if you haven't, you have no concept. It's like Ed Cleary. You just don't know what it was like. No matter what you think, it was worse. So no matter what you think, there's still going to be this interim period of time, no matter what your plans are. And you're talking about building things like networks. And here's where you're going to be very happy that you've got somebody like Ron Jackson who is really willing to take some of those things and go with them. And always patience. Well, we can't eat patience. That's right. That's right. And those are the times that you're right up against the decision making. And I can't make those decisions for you. And the moment I say, well, just wait around. I have no right to say that, number one. And number two, you might starve to death while you're waiting around.